Hey guys, we're back. It's not guest week this week, and I'm not as stressed as I was last week. Welcome to Video Games Are Hard, episode 20, and we have a prepped beginning. One, two, three.
We suck at bingo.
We were trying to sync that up. That didn't.
I'll
really
sync
work.
It up in post. Don't worry.
Oh, it'll be dope. All right.
It'll be sick. Anyway,
we suck at bingo.
We suck at bingo, yes. So what happened in bingo world?
Are you asking me?
It was a theoretical question, but I'm going to answer it myself.
Okay, sure.
We went 1-2 in the 2v2 lockout bingo tournament for SMS.
Yep.
And not as bad as O Flicker that one time he went 0-2, so I'll take it.
That's also true, but it doesn't feel good. So our commentators were actually the team that we beat when we lost our second match.
I just realized that. Yeah, that's true.
So the commentators that were commentating our match that we lost to get knocked out was Deathline and Rubber Ducky Assassin. And mm-hmm. It didn't feel good that they, like, as we lost, they were just like, yeah, we should have beat you too. Like,
I mean, to be fair, like, they're not wrong.
I know. Well, like, in addition to the fact, like, we suck at bingo, we should have lost our first match that we won. And then we played well our second match and lost, and then we played like dirt the third game and lost. So
we signed up for this bingo tournament thinking that signing up would re-fire us up to get motivated to play bingo and actually do scrims and stuff. Turns out we never were motivated, so we just kind of did our matches and played shittily, and yeah.
Dude, when in our last match, so for context, for anybody who doesn't know, there's a bingo tournament going on. It's still going on in the Super Mario Sunshine community. We are knocked out. We got like ninth, tied for ninth, probably.
Yeah, because we started with a bye in winner's bracket and we won in winner's bracket. We actually got pretty high placing, much higher than we deserve. So.
Yeah. So yep. We sucked, but it's still going on. Good luck to everybody in the tournament, whatever. We're probably going to commentate something. I haven't really.
Yeah, the matches coming up are going to be much more hype because it's actual good teams left. So keep it up.
Yeah. So our second match, we did really well. Our third match, I was given blue coin routes and basically.
Okay, yeah, I guess let's explain why we both royally messed up in our third match.
Well, we messed up by giving me anything blues related.
I think I take most of the blame, but we both fucked up.
Oh, yeah. I definitely did.
Yeah.
See, in the second match, if we had this conversation after the second match, I'd be like, Trey. I don't know. Trey fucked up. I played really well. I screwed up like two things near the end, but it was like at the time where I would have had to stretch out to cover six goals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we had this conversation after the second game, I would have had a totally different outlook on it. But the third game, I think I was the weak link. Like I
really? It was,
yeah. We got blue coin goals and we were just like, oh, I should go to Bianco and get blue coins in like 15 blues in Bianco, 20 blues in Bianco and do Bianco 4 floodless. I don't know blue routes and they got me on blue routes immediately. They got
yeah,
me
Popo
on a blue route.
You on blue routes.
I haven't practiced any blue routes. Like at the end of the match, Deathline was just like, or RDA, well, one of them, they were just like, do you not know the 15 blue routes in Bianco? It's like super basic. And I'm sitting there going like, I don't know blue routes.
We didn't practice at all.
I play 96 shines and I didn't put any prep into this.
Yeah, so I told you, yeah, I'm going to do my thing. You get these blue coin goals because there was 15 and 20 blues in Bianco, which is super value.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, Sid, get those goals. You can beat Popo easy.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, Sid, I sort of forgot that we didn't really know blue routes anymore.
Well, so. it's not even that we don't know blue routes. It's that I don't know blue routes.
Well, I don't know them as well as I used to, for sure.
Like I could cobble together a route in regular bingo, which is just like get a line. Like I could cobble together a route and just maybe beat some people, but not like Oatflaker. But I don't know the 1v1 get to 15 blue coins first. Route.
Yeah, but what you should have done was try to get to 15 in Bianco 3.
I don't. Yeah.
And I think what we did was like we went to like 4 and tried to do it.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we messed up.
So I should have like either committed to 20 or done floodless, and I did neither. it was bad.
So Popo literally got all three things in the beginning of Bianco.
Yeah. It was not a good
look. And then on my side, I can't really say I did any better because basically it was a pretty strong Pinna Rush card, which is pretty rare in modern bingo. And Pinna Rush being that it's a good idea to just do a bunch of quick Delfino shines to get to Pinna Park as soon as possible, which requires 10 shines to unlock. And so I was doing my Pinna Rush, but I was like, yeah, so I'm going to do Pinna Rush and also combine 12 blues and Delfino in the process.
Yeah.
And I got the 12 blues and Delfino and then was chasing Reed's tail the whole time and got nothing else. So 12 blues and Delfino was not the play.
See, it's really hard. Like, at some point, probably Trey, if you listen back to the VOD, Trey probably at some point went, I'm going to do 12 blues on the way to getting Pinna Rush. And I don't know if, like, peak Sid would have even realized it, but definitely not, like, Sid that's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, blue coin routes, I'm losing three goals. I'm not really paying attention to Trey at that point.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if at any point I would be like, Trey, you shouldn't do that. Just do Pinna Rush.
And what's funny is that I probably wouldn't have done that if I was facing a better opponent. I severely underestimated Reed and Popo's decision making because I was fairly sure that they wouldn't do a true Pinna Rush, which they did. And that's what destroyed me. If they did anything else, I would have beat them to Pinna and it would have been a different story, but still, they destroyed us fair and square. It just wasn't pretty. But good stuff to Repo. They really showed up that day.
And we're out.
And it feels good to be out. I wasn't feeling the tournament the whole time I was in it, at least like me playing. It's cool to watch a match occasionally, but like me, I wasn't feeling playing bingo. Still not, to be honest. And also, I get more free time to actually work on what's really important, the Pianta 6 World Record History video.
That is important.
I've actually finished, so all the script is done, obviously, voiceovers are done, and I work on videos sort of in thirds. There's the script third, the voiceover third, and the editing of the video third. The voiceover third is by far the shortest process, but also the most tedious, I'd say. But the video editing, I'm quite the perfectionist when it comes to editing, so I take longer than most people probably would, but I want it to be a really good video, so I'm taking my time. And in the video portion, I've actually finished roughly 11 minutes of the about 30 minutes the video is going to be, probably half the length of a standard any percent or 120 history video quota, by the way.
Yep.
But yeah, making really good progress on that. My initial goal going into the video editing third of the process was to finish it before Animal Crossing comes out on March 20th. Thinking about it now, thank God I have a leap day, but this is leap day we're recording this on, by the way. And the leap day is helping, but I don't know if that's realistic because I have to finish about a minute of editing a day on average to meet that deadline, which at the rate that I edit and try to make stuff as good as possible is probably not going to happen. So I'm hoping for April release at the latest. So that's my final thing on that.
See, I would suggest, with the Animal Crossing release on March 20th, I'd be like, you know what? Let's both get it. Let's pull Luigi's Mansion 3 and let's both like have our opinions on the podcast.
You're going to play Animal Crossing?
This is my point. I have zero interest in Animal Crossing. Like, absolutely zero.
I was surprised by that.
So I was just like thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, we should both get it and like both talk about it like on the podcast. It'd be kind of nice. Just
you can play with Frenchie and I and some others.
And I just have no... Like, I'll play Raid Shadow. I'm grinding the shit out of Raid Shadow Legends. I have no interest in Animal Crossing whatsoever. My question was about the Pianta 6 World Record History video. What, like, how long is it going to take to edit the video with Oatflaker getting the record at some point soon?
You know what's funny is I actually, as soon as I made that tweet to Oatflaker, Oatflaker tweeted saying, yo, where are the SMS bounties at? I want some money. And so I responded with $420 if you get a world record sweep of all the Pianta Village ILs. Because Oatflaker was getting quite a few of those. Sid and some others have been taking them back. But I was like, yeah, $420 if you get every single Pianta IL at the same time, which would be just ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah.
If only for one reason, because Pianta 6 is just... Good luck with that.
Pianta 6 is the most optimized, or the longest, like, grinded IL, for sure.
It is so... Fetch is so good at that level. He's on a level beyond anyone else in anything, any other level. It's crazy.
It was one of the only ILs before ILs were big that was ILable. You know, it was the only one, one of the only ones with in-game timer that was actually kind of decent to play. So everybody just kind of grinded it.
That is why this is a good level to make this video on, because most ILs, which are popular to grind now, just because we have in-game time codes and any level has in-game time. There's actually a lot more history to Pianta 6 because it always had in-game time. So that combined with how fun it is to grind sometimes and just... It lended itself to a really good IL and it became extremely optimized as a result. So
there are literally strats by players that haven't touched the game in probably 4 years in the level, in Pianta 6. And you can't say that for really any other IL.
But you will find out what those people are and what the strats are in the video I release. So stay tuned.
I also responded to that tweet, the $420 bounty tweet. I was saying like, oh, wow. So consider my Pianta 6 a little less shit and then and then I'll quit. Like, because my Pianta 6 is so, in comparison to like the 219 world record right now, I have like a 213. I think people can get like 215s or 216s in runs. And I'm just like, no, I can't do any of this. So I'd get like probably a 215 or 216 and be like, yeah, I'm done with this. Because
you can probably get a 216.
Because I have two world records in Pianta Village that are pretty good, I'd like to say.
They're solid, I gotta say.
So even though like Goopy Inferno might be harder to get, I don't know, Pianta 8 and Pianta 100s, that's more to do, at least.
Indeed.
I like the long levels.
Yeah, my Pianta 6 record is only a 215.59, and that's my only 215 ever, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Good.
What I was going to say about Oathflaker. So when I made that tweet, I actually theorized, I had like a really funny idea for if theoretically Oathflaker or someone else beats the record before I release the video. So I'm prepared, don't worry, I'm prepared for that.
Okay.
So whether it happens or not, I got a plan. Good. That's all I'm saying.
What about me? What if it's me?
If it's you, I don't know what I would do. Hey,
I'm a pretty pro ILer now.
That's true. You're really rising up. Ever since you got codes, you're getting a lot better. The
JP Pal is impressed by my Noki 3. That's all I can say.
But he also beat your Noki 3, didn't he?
No.
What was that 43.3 that I saw? Or 2.3, sorry.
There's a 42.3?
Yeah, he linked it in the guy Discord, didn't you see?
Oh my god, did he actually beat it? I haven't looked at the board.
Yep, 42.3, baby.
I'm looking at the board. No!
So the thing about Noki 3, should we do an impromptu WR history on Noki 3 right now?
Next week.
Okay, yeah, let's...
Next week when I get it back. That's cheap.
I'll let Sid bask in the crazy emotions of just realizing this thing happened.
I didn't know that he got it back.
Aww. Well, now you know.
That had to literally be in the last 6 hours because I haven't looked at
it. It was actually while I was
morning.
At the gym like an hour ago. It was 6:47 p.m. my time, and right now it's 8:11 p.m.
I looked at the board at like 3 p.m. my time, and I'm just like, okay, I still have it. And he still had like a 54 or some shit.
JP Pal is crazy, man.
Well, I can beat it. I know I can beat it. I was doing some note, even without looking at that board and knowing that I was beaten. Like, I've been poking at Noki 3 because I know I can put the time a little bit lower. And I've had really good pace attempts that just screw up somewhere. But I know I can do it. So let's hold off on the world record history until
I'm going to save the WR history for that for when 41 happens.
Or, like, when we stop.
But no, JP's so confident 41's gonna happen.
I don't know if 41's gonna 41 is gonna be really, really, really hard.
That's crazy. That IL has come. I think what Cephalon prophesized, that Noki 3 has like the most potential to be saved of any level.
Yep.
It's finally coming to fruition in 2020.
Like, what was the IL time when I started, when I got practice codes? Like, you had the record.
So I had sort of like a half-assed attempt that I did in like 10 minutes of 43.88.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I was pretty much, I was the Noki 3 king for a few months because no one else really cared. So I had the best splits at a 122.1, I believe.
Fog.
And then now people have 121 splits, so it's crazy.
I have a 121 split.
Sid has one, and Dede has one.
And I only did 5 days of attempts. So who knows how long that can go.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of Minoki 3, but I knew this day would come where people start to rise up on it and appreciate the movement in it.
JP Pal, for some reason, latching onto it. It's because I was improving it. He's just like, I'll improve it too. I'm like, damn it.
As soon as these new kids see Sid improving something, they're like, wait a minute, I can do better than that.
Oh, Boomer? Boomer doing something? Eh, I can do better than this guy. Damn.
Yeah.
Except for the hundos. Everybody just like, leaves my hundos.
Sid is like a speed bully magnet. I don't know what it is.
But nobody has Equivocal Genius has attempted. I got Noki Hundo, and I saw him like, oh, you want to talk about Noki Hundo?
Sure. I mean, you know more about it than me.
Well, so. Noki Hundo, you know, the Nanashi route came out like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Nanashi route, which is like a totally different routing of Noki 100s, was rumored to be like 8 seconds faster. Like, people were saying 8 seconds faster after it came out, and I was just like, I don't know. Maybe? I don't know.
I always knew it wasn't that much.
And I didn't have practice codes, so I couldn't really test it, so whatever. Recently, I actually did Noki Hundo attempts, looking at Equivocal Genius's time with Nanashi route, and his gameplay was pretty good. He got, like, one ledge grab, but other than that, it was pretty well done. And I ended up beating it with the old route, which...
The boomer route.
What's really funny is, and Trey pointed it out, Equivocal Genius's comment on, or note, specifically note, on his world record for Noki Hundo was Nanashi route boomers quaking. and I'm just like sitting there going like, I don't know, maybe I can beat it with old boomer route. And it took me like an hour. And then I beat it and I was like, hey, I beat it with the boomer route. Cool.
Hey, I'm not quaking anymore.
I think boomer route's actually faster now.
It's also easier, so you should probably just do it.
There's just more to optimize. Like, his IL actually has insane ruins movement that I don't do. And, like, the fact that I didn't do it and still beat his time by over a second, or, like, slightly over a second, not that it's just like, oh, over a second, it's just, like, slightly over a second. It's still improvable. Whatever.
That being said, Nanashi has a pretty good track record of making new routes that are actually better. This is like the one time his route wasn't as good, I think.
Yeah, it's he has Serena Hundo reroute and Rico 3 reroute.
Yeah, like Rico Hundo is crazy because like it went sort of in a triangle where Rico 3 was the best a long time ago. And then it was Rico 6 and then Rico 8 specifically in 120. And then Rico 3 again just in general, so...
I liked Rico 6, Hundo.
I miss Rico 6. You, like, ride on the blooper, get the coins in the water. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
And the sad thing is, it's not, like, Rico 3 isn't even faster. It's not faster than Rico 6. Theoretically, it's, like, neck and neck in actual speed. But in a run, in a 96 shine or 79 shine run, it's slightly faster to get the rocket in Rico 3 so that you save 5 seconds in Rico 8.
Yep.
So its time save is 5 seconds, but not in the level itself. So I guess ILs theoretically you could do Rico 6 or Rico 3. Maybe I should try that. I haven't thought about that in a while. But that's our little IL spiel. I also think for anybody that's in the IL sphere, so I've been doing ILs lately. And Bianco 7, do you want to talk about Bianco 7 a little bit?
Sure. So I think that one of my I only have two remaining world records in AEIL because Sid's been stealing them from me.
Woo!
He stole my gelato, my insane gelato 6 IL. I worked so hard for
it. It did take me surprise. You said it was free. It took me a half hour.
Oh, I'm kind of proud then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you beat it by like a second and a half. So.
Well, it took me a half hour to beat it by like 0.3, and then it took me another 10 minutes to beat it by 2 seconds.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it wasn't totally free. That's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I only have Rico 3, which out of nowhere, I had this like insane Rico 3 IL where... So for the longest time, ever since the latest tech of SMS was found, the Beyblade, which is essentially doing like a grounded spin and then going onto a slidable slope, doing a jump, and you get like crazy momentum into a jump. The Beyblade strat saves quite a bit in the Rico 3 IL. So when it was first found during SGDQ 2019, Quaniza and I, actually pretty much any SMS runner was grinding it quite a bit at the event. And during that event, even though he wasn't there, from home, Ouija got an insane 14.52. Was that what it was?
I can look
14.54, maybe, something like that. And that time stood for many months. Well, actually, the study within... Okay, let me tell the crazy the study within story that people may not know about. So at this one point, the study within, who's a Sunshine runner, obviously, he's playing Sunshine. we were like in our room, in our hotel room at GDQ, and we were about to go somewhere. So some others leave the room to like go out and go somewhere. I'm about to leave, and Chetty is grinding Rico 3 in the room on a CRT. And everyone's out of the room. I'm in the restroom getting ready to go. And I hear Chetty pop off while I'm in the restroom. So I finish my business, leave the restroom, check out what happened. And on the screen, I see 14.3 something. I think it was 3.7. So I was like then and there like, yeah, yo, congrats, Chetty. You got 14.37. That's insane, dude. Sadly, there was no video though. So it can't be verified as a real record. But... even if it was, well, the question is it real though? Because you know what he could have done, even though I know Chetty's a good person, he's a Canadian, he wouldn't do this. Canadians are all nice, right?
True.
Theoretically, because no one was in the room and I was in the restroom, he could have used a position code, position coded himself under the shine, grabbed it at a certain point to make the timer say that, and then be like, yo, look at this time I got.
Yep.
But yeah, in that universe, I have the record, which I got a few months ago, of a 14.45. Is that what it was? And
yes,
I bopped Ouija's time by nearly a tenth of a second, and it was out of nowhere, too. I was just playing it on a whim. My previous best time was probably like 14.6, 14.7, and I just nailed that insane double jump from the crane into a perfect hover through the... cage and get the shine and bam.
I was in the voice call with you. I'm in the video talking about like crime dramas. And I don't even know what, like, I know what I'm talking about, but I'm also really bored by it listening back. I'm just like, why was I even talking?
And I'm
about
also
that?
Like, I think I'm like totally tuning out what Sid's saying this whole time.
Just like, oh, I don't know.
Like, I was just using it. Yeah. So you're like saying some boring shit about crime dramas.
Yeah.
And then I get the record and I'm like, oh, or you asked me a question like,
something about crime dramas.
But yeah, you're like, most of TV today is just like crime dramas, right? And then my response is, oh, I don't know, but I just beat Ouija.
Yeah. I'm just like, dope. And then we totally like, dropped the conversation. Yeah. The conversation was over. I don't even know what the hell the point was, but still, like, yeah. See, the question about SETI's record, like, it would feel so gross if SETI had the record on the leaderboards with like, what is it? 14 point.
I want to say 3.7.
Yeah. With 14.37 without a video, because it'll always be a question.
Yeah. Just because like I said, my theoretical way he could have cheated it, no one was in the room. So
you just can't like without proof at all. You just can't. It's
you
just,
got to have video of your WRs, folks.
But yeah, Bianco 7.
Oh, right. So Bianco 7, we got on a long tangent there. Holy crap.
Yeah.
What I was going to say was, of my two records I have, one of them is Rico 3. The other one is a tied world record with probably eight other people for Bianco 7.
I think it's just three.
There's like, is at least five people on there, bro.
Is there? I guess
there's
I didn't scroll down.
There's at least five times of exactly 16.00 on that leaderboard.
I got a 16.02 yesterday, and I am confident that this is why I'm mentioning it. I am confident that I can save a frame.
You see, that's cute because I was confident too. After I got that 16.00, I was like, well, surely I can save a fraction of a frame and be the first person to get a 15. I tried for half an hour, lost my sanity, and was like, fuck this. It's not possible.
Hey, you know what? You know what I can chalk myself up to? I have a very... I can grind for a while.
I think you're much better at grinding stuff than me.
I can do it for much longer.
I just lose interest too fast.
Trey always talks about how he can like grind for half an hour and then he's done. While I was doing Pianta 8, I literally played, and I said it on the podcast, I played that IL, I think 20 hours out of like 48 hours. I think legit.
That's crazy to me.
Because I had like 2 days of freedom, and all I did was play Pianta 8 like a grind monkey. It was crazy. But
it was worth it. You got it in the same time.
Yeah. And then Equivocal Genius. What's funny about that, like Equivocal Genius, I was referencing Equivocal Genius trying to get the... He tried getting the record back in Noki Hundo, I think. Like, I don't think he took very long. I think he pulled a tray and took a half hour and was just like, eh, fuck this. And with Pianta 8, like, I had a 120-something in Pianta 8, and then I saw him grinding it, and he was ahead by however much early on, or, like, a fair bit early on, but he couldn't get the ending, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, if he can get this ending... which requires a run cancel and nobody else does a run cancel. So I thought I was pretty safe. I'm just like, I need to get this. So I got a 119 really quick with strats that I stole from him. And I haven't seen anybody play it since. So I think that's safe.
Yeah, I think you're pretty safe there.
Yeah. Unless Reed comes out of the woodwork and decides to destroy everything.
Or unless Oflicker gets enticed by that $420 and gets all the Piano records.
Wait, is that real?
You know what? Yes. Okay, this is an official, crazy, video games are hard moment. Bounty moment. I don't know. That's
a bounty moment.
A Trey bounty moment on video games are hard. If anyone, even you, listener, managed to get every single Pianta Village IL world record simultaneously, all 11 of them, I will give you, via PayPal or Venmo or whatever these crazy kids use, $420 USD. That's
simple. I really wanted you to end that sentence with, I'll give you so much.
I will give you beyond so much.
Yeah.
This is next level. $420, you can do so much with that.
What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Maybe I'll try to, this will probably be how it goes. Like, I'll think about it and be like, I'll play Pianta 6, and I'll try Pianta 6 for a bit, and I'll, like, try to learn harder strats and stuff, and then I'll get maybe a 216, and I'll be like, I'm done. I can't do this.
But it's official. As of this moment, I will do that. Also, I have that other bounty going on for a while because it's never going to happen. If you can manage to skip the sub-level in Pac-Man World 2, I'll give you $500. So. That one's up for grabs. No one's taken it yet. I wonder why.
Well, since we're talking about skipping part of the game and a lot about Super Mario Sunshine, maybe we should segue into the fact that now we skip the opening.
Yeah, so this is a topic that I think you said someone didn't want us to talk about too much.
Somebody didn't want us to talk about, but other people really want us to talk about.
So you know what? The people who want it, you outweigh the naysayers. We're going to talk about it. It's pretty important. So,
yeah. So,
what's going on with the timing method rules in Sunshine these days?
Super Mario Sunshine, you can now have the option to do other timing method. You can just start from a plain file select and go. You could do it from reset timing if you really want to.
If you're Kaminari,
even though it will manually change it on the leaderboards, but you can still start from file select. Don't worry about it. Who cares? Watch all the cutscenes. But now we're allowing Peach timing and hacked file timing.
Oh, so, God. These Sunshine players are literally using hacks for their game? What the fuck?
Yeah. So we can now
skip
the first two cutscenes with a save file that you just save after watching both of them and then just replaying without and mashing through those cutscenes. Or you can modify a memory card somehow. I don't quite know how to do it. But modify your memory card to have a save file that's actually watched all three cutscenes, but you're replaying Airstrip. So it's replaying Airstrip and then mashing through all three starting cutscenes.
And people get scared by the name hacked file because it sort of insinuates, oh, what if there are other hacks in the background and it's not legal? But quite simply, it's just nothing changed in the game except for the flags for the first three cutscenes are already saved, so you can skip them all.
See, last week when I referenced it in, like, I'm so glad that during the Cheese interview, by the way, last week we interviewed Cheese.
Check it out. Cheese05.
If, like, I'm so glad that we don't have leaderboard drama like Zelda or whatever. Like, we don't have so much drama. We have just, like, our little bit of leaderboard drama that's kind of okay, that we talk about every year and pops up every so often.
Nice little annual events among Sunshine Runners.
I didn't realize that the vote was actually ending that next day.
I actually did know that, but I didn't think they would just switch it over so soon. Like, it was like instant, like, boom, leaderboards changed like that.
So I haven't actually looked at the leaderboards since. So I haven't been doing any SMS except for ILs. Not trying to stay away from hacked file or any of that drama. It's whatever. But I just haven't been interested in playing the full game. I actually was going to do a run this evening, but I was just like, we have to do the podcast and whatever. I can do Noki 3. I still have the record, but I'll try to improve it. Oh, shit. JP Pal has the record.
Oh, no! Wait. Now you actually have to improve it.
Yeah. Now I actually have to beat it. So, but yeah. So I didn't actually know the poll was ending that next day. And there's a lot of shit that's come down from it. I actually voted for Hacked File. I think Hacked File looks clean. As stated in the past, 2File looks whack as shit. And I'm glad it's not.
Thankfully, 2File wasn't voted for. That being said, J. Cool's PB, which uses 2File, was still allowed because he did his run prior to Hacked File being a thing, so it was grandfathered in a sense.
Okay.
Which is whatever. You know, sure. It's fine.
We're accepting everything at this point. Who cares?
Yeah, we're basically Sunshine is like the most progressive speed game of all time now. So.
Great. But those SMS Republicans. See, those Blood Whale tweets don't make sense to me. Like, Blood Whale is a fine guy. He's actually been in my... I hosted him once or twice. He's actually been in my chat. It's whatever. We're all cool. But, like, the fact that he tweets out, like, I don't know, bashing the SMS Republicans, which I guess the boomers are, like, Trey and I are, quote, an SMS Republican, even though I'm Canadian.
Super toxic.
Yeah. Like, because we were all against 2File and all, like, the quote, progressive things. So, but I actually voted for Hacked File. So I don't know who he's owning. I think, like, everybody voted for Hacked File. There's
and also Kaplan voted for it, too. He's also a boomer.
Like, it won, and it wasn't close. Like, it more than 3/4 of the people voted for Hacked File to be allowed. I'm pretty sure. So, fine.
And then Blood Whale was also, like, targeting Bouncy Boy. He's like, get off your high horse. You're irrelevant now. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird.
Like, he's super passionate about timing methods, and he always comes off as, like, kind of assholish towards people, but it's fine. That's his steez, I guess. So.
That's his steez.
How respect.
There was a Bouncy Boy tweet in the mix, right? Like, so
yeah, he was like disappointed that I forgot what it said actually.
Like, he was talking about J. Cool bringing up the poll and us actually like bending the knee to actually doing the poll over and over again.
Oh yeah, the point of it was like it just goes to show if you whine enough over and over again, you eventually get your way.
Yeah, essentially, because like,
and I mean,
if you
He's not entirely wrong, right?
Yeah, if you keep reopening the poll to the exact same or a variation of the same thing, eventually it will win, you know?
And then when it does win, there's no going back, so this is what it is.
It's not like if I was really against Hacked File, I could start a poll being like, let's go back to where it was. Like, there isn't
that. Yeah, it's the way it is now, like, it's set.
That's not happening. So at least it's all over, question mark, but now we've opened up what is the Twitter hole of opinions of everybody that doesn't play SMS.
Yeah, or like people who haven't played the game since like 2013.
So I forgot the poll was going to come out. So this is my whole point. I forgot the poll was going to come out, and I was just like, oh, the poll came out. Nice. And I thought nothing of it. I was just like, oh, okay, well, Hacked File's allowed. It's kind of cool. 2File isn't allowed. Cool. I hate that. Peach File's allowed. Awesome. File Select, whatever. Like, it's still there. But Then I kind of like disengaged with everything for a day. And then the next day I looked at Twitter and there was a paper tweet being like, everybody's mad about Hacked File that doesn't play the game. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I responded with, oh, are people mad? Okay. Interesting. And then I looked around Twitter and a lot of my recommended tweets were like just people that have former, like Toeful was in there and Alpharad was in there. Oh, yeah,
it sets a bad precedent.
Like Alpharad was one of them, I think.
Wait, really? Alpharad?
Was it Alpharad? Am I thinking the wrong guy?
I don't
remember
Alpharad. I know like Grand Poobear, EasyScape.
Grand Poobear tweeted about it? What did he say?
I think you're thinking of EasyScape, bro.
No, Alpharad tweeted too. I swear.
I didn't see that one. I saw a lot of tweets, and not that one.
There were a lot of tweets out there. So but yeah, everybody just kind of has their... Everybody has their take.
EasyScape made like a big tweet like supporting the decision.
Yeah.
And then Grand Poobear responded saying like, yeah, it's best to do what your community wants and
cool.
All that stuff.
See, those are fine. Whatever.
Yeah, that's
it's not that I hate that people put out their opinion all the time. It's just funny that everybody that was bashing Hacked File had the exact same template. And I was talking about it that night because there were a few tweets that were just like, well, my opinion doesn't really matter much. And I only did like three runs in 2017 or 2014. Or it's been 17 years since I've played the game. But here's my take. It's just something along the lines of it's a bad what was Toeful's a bad precedent for the communities.
Yeah.
And there was another one that was just saying like it's a bad like something, it's a bad message towards other games. I don't remember what exactly the wordings were, but it's like it was just bad. It's just like a bad road to hoe, essentially. And I was just sitting there going like, I don't know. I'm fine with it. Like, I'll probably still
and
play
then
Files
actually,
Select.
Even Worster tweeted, I have the tweet up right now, and it says, speedrunners. Haha, look at all these YouTube comments saying we're hacking. What idiots. They don't understand we're just playing completely legit. Also speedrunners. So we're going to start from a literally hacked file because it's better. And I mean, I mean, it's just sort of a... That tweet has to go along with sort of the vague nature of hack, right?
It's funny.
Because when you think hacked, you think like, oh, hacks that make your jump higher or you literally can't die or infinite lives. But these hacks, all they are just skipping cutscene flags. So it's the exact same game, every gameplay intact, just none of the intro cutscenes.
Yeah, it's really not that bad at all. Like, it's not going to affect any RNG. It's not going to affect... Like, if it was a hacked file... This is going to be the next poll, all right? I'm going to predict this right now. It's going to be hacked file with like RNG that's strictly the best.
Oh, no, they're never going to allow that.
There's going to be a poll in 2027.
Okay, 2027, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, just like, oh, I'm sick of this goddamn King Boo messing up all my 116 attempts, even though the world record's 111. This is the Blood Whale equivalent. This is the Blood Whale equivalent.
Blood Whale's still playing, like, at that time.
Like, somebody that's not very good for the time, but the world record's 111, and they're just like, I'm trying to get this 116. We need King Boo. We need King Boo to be one, no extra cycles.
We need only the best pity pattern. This is bullshit.
It'll happen. But I just thought it was really funny looking around Twitter, seeing all these tweets.
But no, Sid, what you're saying is a slippery slope fallacy. It's not true.
You know what? They were right. They were right.
You know, a lot of people who were more of the liberal people in the community always wanting Race File and the new thing to be allowed, they were always the ones saying shit like, no, that's a fallacy. You're using fucking slippery slope, or it's, what's the other thing? Ad hominem, whatever.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, the nerdiest way to argue is just like...
Yeah.
They
just have like full paragraphs with proper punctuation.
It's just so try hard, and it's like, okay, yeah. Whoa, I didn't know you went to law school, bro. Like, what are you trying to say?
What was the one? It's just like, it was a random Twitter post. It wasn't anything related to the Sunshine community or anything, but it was something, somebody wrote a sentence being like, describing a long paragraph as a dissertation paper. And then Trey and I were making fun of it, being like, oh, you wrote a really long page of words. Like, I don't
wait,
know.
What was
like,
this?
Like, we were making fun of somebody calling just like a page of writing a dissertation yeah. paper. Just like, oh, yeah. I have to write a really long page. Like, he tried to make it sound as smart as he could by saying dissertation paper. And I was just sitting there going like, why would you say, it's just like a really long page of words. And I was just making fun of that for the next 10
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, I think I remember that now.
It was just so dumb. I don't even know.
I wrote
remember
a
what.
Lot of words, so you to listen to me.
I'm just like, oh, I wrote a lot of words. Oh, well, I wrote a really big word describing this
long
set of words.
Like straw man.
Pardon me?
Like, oh, he's just straw manning. Ignore him. He's stupid. It's like, if you're using these law terms in your argument, just stop. Like, what are you, you're trying to like sound all smart, just stop.
Well, see, the whole thing about the SMS liberals or whatever, because again, I was one of the quote SMS Republicans. Racefile was
oh,
bad.
Oh, I still am.
Racefile was bad. And
oh, yeah. I mean, it's straight up skipping gameplay. Racefile is essentially a file that starts when you save in Delfino and you skip everything in Airstrip. Cutscenes, gameplay, just totally wiped out. That would have been bad, like a really bad precedent, as TOEFL would say.
Precedent, yeah. And precedent. Precedent.
President. Obama.
See, we're all still against Racefile. I think Racefile is still stupid. And oh, the yeah. poll lost because Racefile is dumb. And then even all those, the hate tweets from Blood Whale again and all those other things talking about how Racefile is the future and stuff and everybody that voted against Racefile is a hater or whatever. Racefile was bad. And then eventually they found the common ground. Everybody found the nice little niche where everybody was kind of happy. I voted for Hackfile. I probably won't use Hackfile. I might use it like once or twice if I figure out how to make it work. That's a big hurdle, but other than that, like at the end
oh,
of a stream, if I don't want to,
it's just like GCMM software on your yeah. Wii.
So like if I figure out how to make it all work and don't want to watch the entire cutscene at the end, I might do Peach File or something, but I don't see myself being dedicated to it. Cause I like playing Raid Shadow Legends during the intro cutscene. And that's kind of nice.
We're not sponsored.
We're not sponsored. But I've been
you
playing.
You know, actually, this whole time, I haven't actually given my opinion or what I voted for yet.
Yeah, and what the fuck did you vote for?
I only voted for yes to Peach File and no to everything else.
Okay.
And so I personally, I've never been opposed to Peach File. I've always thought, yeah, Peach File makes sense. All you do to set it up is save after the flood cutscene. All the gameplay is intact and you can skip two cutscenes, which is pretty solid for no hacks required. But, and I'm going to get, like, people calling me out of touch and a boomer for this, but I still don't think it's okay to, like, for Hackfile to be a thing, personally.
Okay.
That being said, whatever the community seems to value more is not necessarily going to be in line with what I want. So if, like, what, 70% want Hackfile, then sure, like, go ahead. It's not what I would prefer. I still think that, like, Beyond Peach File is not a good thing, in my opinion. But if the majority of the community wants is okay with Hacked File, then sure, go for it. Why not?
Yep. That's the
I'm not. I'm not
going to
gatekeep what most people want to do. So
yeah, that's the healthiest way to go about it. I would have been the exact same way as you. I probably would have voted for Peach File just for people to skip with without modifying anything about the memory card, just skipping with a save file on the memory card itself. Two cutscenes, I would have been totally fine. But that same day that I was voting or figuring out how to vote, because speedrun.com was having a lot of issues the day that I was trying to vote. So it was just like, oh, you can't sign in. I'm just like, okay, well, I can't get my code in order to vote. So I'll try this every so often. If I had been able to immediately vote without having any speedrun.com problems, I would have probably not voted for Hackfile. But while I was trying to figure it all out and have it actually work for me, I was watching Papuccino stream and he was doing Hackfile and I was like, oh, this is Hackfile, and he's just like, yeah, and it looked really clean to me, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this actually seems pretty okay. Not
like
that
it
I'd
is very
it.
Clean and it's like not all abrasive and weird like two file is.
Yeah.
But I just personally don't believe that games should be modified in a way to make them easier. It doesn't feel like it's the same game at that point. But I mean, when it comes to grinding SMS, and if you're really grinding and pushing beyond the limits of what we've done previously, in the future, going for 113 or even lower
113s, 111s, bro,
111s, 2027, 2027, It maybe it's necessary for the cutscenes to be gone. Maybe as time goes on, more games will adopt that idea of accepting ways of doing runs that aren't just the vanilla game when competition gets heated enough. Like, who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 years in speedrunning? Maybe Majora's Mask might do something like that.
Ooh.
Because God knows they need it, so...
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Majora's Mask is
going to
do.
Actually, also, Majin Phil tweeted about it as a Majora's Mask runner, being like, oh, what the fuck did he say? I don't know. It was the generic, oh, these SMS guys think they got it bad. Check out Majora's Mask.
Yeah, that's literally all. Every time we mention this, it's always in the spirit of, Majora's Mask has it so much worse, and I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Yeah, it's just that always comes up every single time this comes up. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, because it's just like, oh, we got our 12 minutes of cutscenes, but I don't know, they have 20 minutes of walking around doing the exact same thing.
And there were some other bad arguments on Twitter. Someone was saying, imagine if this was allowed like in 2008 and Honey Skip was never found, then it's like, I don't know, it's just weird arguments like that.
Yeah, there was another one about, see, I understand this argument. The argument about, like, what if we're able to, you're able to skip the cutscenes naturally at some point? Like, wouldn't you feel awkward? But that argument doesn't really hold up either because, one, you can't. And I don't see, like, we had Sock Folder, the old Ocarina of Time /
finder of the Canonless setup.
Yeah, he found Canonless setup after everybody, like, requested that somebody find it, or I don't remember what the whole thing about that was.
I think that Stockholder basically took it as like a challenge for himself to see if it was even possible. Actually, Simply made a really cool video explaining the history of Canonless. Mm-hmm. And I think what Stockholder's intent was, he didn't even care if it was useful in speedruns. He just wanted to prove that a setup was possible. And it just so happened he actually found one that was relatively fast, so it was useful.
That's badass.
Yep.
But yeah, we actually requested Sock Folder, and that's Canonless in Super Mario 64 for anybody that just...
Oh yeah, we just... And by the way, speedrunning is when you beat a game as fast as possible, and a video game is a game on a video.
Yeah. it's a game on a video. That's how it goes.
Which is
going
to be one word sometime this decade, video game, one word.
A video game, you get your VHS player out, you have your videotape, and you put a video on it, and then you play the video game.
A video just becomes a game that you play on your TV.
Yeah, if you rewind it and fast forward, you're controlling the game. And speedrun is just fast forwarding over and over and over again.
This is crazy.
But yeah, we actually requested Sock Folder himself to try to find opening skip, which is, and there's actually a way to do it. Like if you die on the title file screen or the file select screen, you will, what is it? Skip to the last cutscene that you watched or skip after the last cutscene you watched. So is that how it worked?
I think it skips to after like the next cutscene flag. I don't entirely know.
Yeah, something along the lines of that. But somehow you can skip the opening with a death on the title screen. If you can like do it multiple times, awesome. But Sockfolder himself was just like, there isn't a way to do it. Like you don't have if anybody know or if you don't know anything about Super Mario Sunshine, you actually have so much more restricted movement on the file select screen. You can ground pound. You can jump.
You can triple jump. You can side flip. You can spin jump.
Yeah, but you can't dive. You don't have flood. You can't hover or do anything. You can't really.
You can clip through the foul blocks.
Yeah.
And Calf doing like a pretty precise jump and holding sideways for a little bit.
Yeah. Calf
but it
found
leads to
that
nothing,
once.
So
I remember when Calf found that we were all just like, oh my God. And then,
oh yeah, that's actually
it.
Pretty hype. It's a pretty fun way to start runs. You can like clip through a foul block and it still hits it on the way down.
Yeah.
It's a pretty swag way to start a run.
But yeah, there's just, and you can only move back and forth. So there isn't actually a way to do it, but theoretically, if you could like, for this person who tweeted it out, I don't remember who it was, but if you could theoretically die on the opening screen and we find it after changing our timing methods and stuff like that, it would actually affect the time. Like the fact that, so we use Peach File and Hacked File now, but you can actually do file select. So everything is just a derivative of file select. So you just add a certain amount of time to your live split timer, depending on what method of time you use. So if you use like file select timing or hacked timing, it's like six and a half minutes or something. I don't know what specific the time you add.
I think
to
for
your
a hacked file, it's like 550 or something.
Yeah. So you add that amount of time and you start the timer actually 5 minutes and 50 seconds into the run. So you're not actually taking the time away. You're just like doing the beginning differently and meeting up with every other timing method at a different point. And
yeah,
or
so
at the
all,
same point.
There's no, like, you don't save 5 minutes for playing hacked file. The times get converted as if the cutscenes were there.
So that's how that works. So if theoretically we did find some way to die on the opening or on the file select screen, it would actually affect the time. And then everybody would have to go in and change, or like, sure, you'd have to change your method and everybody do file select then, but then everybody can just do that and then improve their time that way with this new skip that we theoretically would find, which isn't possible, but for sake of argument, if we found it, that would be that. And it would actually affect all of the times on the leaderboard. The fact that hacked file or using hacked file or peach timing, that doesn't actually affect anybody's time. It just makes it more, I don't know, they're just more able to grind runs and not get bogged down by cutscenes at the start, which I respect, because I always have hated grinding runs. Like, I think I did one 10-hour... My longest stream for a while was a 10-hour stream of Any% that I was stuck in Bianco, and this was, like, when I had a 120. Like, this is when I sucked. So I totally understand the people...
Oh, we all sucked back then.
Like, this is... I totally understand the people... I remember Ice Windows Hill linked me a clip of a person, and Trey, you've probably seen it too, of somebody that had probably a 140 or something getting pissed at windmill wall kicks.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And it's just like, yeah, like, we've all been there. Like, we're mad at windmill wall kicks when we still have 20 minutes off the record, but you're still mad at it. And you get frustrated, and sometimes you just early reset for no reason. Shoutouts to Reeb. And
the king of early resets.
And, like, I get it, and being able to skip it is fine. It's just, there was never, and to put a cap on this, unless Trey wants to add a little bit more,
I'll add one more thought after this.
It just makes it so that everybody's happier. Like, it doesn't change, it doesn't remove any gameplay, and it's a nice compromise for everybody in the community. So whether you're against it or with it, it exists now. And if you end up running the game, you can choose to run file select, but if you don't, it's kind of the community's choice.
It's a quality of life improvement where the improvement of the quality of life outweighs the less legitness of the run, I suppose.
Yeah.
But again, it's still the same game. All the gameplay's there, just minus some cutscenes. So, we didn't mention the sort of the fallout of Japanese players not so happy about it.
Oh, yeah. I actually don't know anything about this, so...
I know a little bit about it. Like, Tobo was kind of concerned, saying things like the West, or actually not even just Tobo, a number of Japanese players, which the last time we did this, in the initial switching from reset to file select vote.
Oh yeah.
Which was like a way, way smaller deal, like a 7 second difference, like literally nothing compared to this. But the JP players got shafted because we made the decision without them, and then we just kind of forced it on them. But in this case, I guess they got shafted even harder because, like, they were allowed to vote in the same poll that we had, and I think only like 9 or 10 of them voted. And I'm pretty sure none of them were in favor of hacked file or anything. But I mean, the Western runners outweighed them significantly.
Just to iron that out. All the Japanese players that voted, voted no, but there was one that abstained.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, one consciously knew about it, but abstained from everything. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, sorry.
So,
sorry to interrupt.
Japanese players, I mean, you look at us disgusting SMS conservatives, right? Republicans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We are not even anywhere near as Republican as the Japanese community.
As conservative.
Conservative. My bad. I keep mixing up the words.
Yeah.
So we already knew going into this that there's no way they'd be happy about it. But I think that, like, over time, they're sort of lightening up to it. I think some of them are considering using Peach File at least. And I think it's just, like, a necessary step. You sort of have to ruffle some borders to make any changes, because there's no way you're going to please everyone. And, yeah, we did kind of do them dirty, but in a way it was necessary for this quality of life improvement to happen in the first place. So,
wasn't there something about a translation issue?
Yeah, so I guess some of them were saying, like, oh, the poll, the options were not translated very well. But that's kind of weird, because they had, like, a month to tell us that was the case, but they never did.
And we do have, like, a couple Japanese speakers in the English side of the community, so...
Yeah, I believe, like, Arl, who's a Japanese player, did some of the translations for it. And I believe Strongman Lin did as well. He's an American player, but he knows some Japanese. And, yeah, I mean, they had a month to notify moderators that they should be updated, but they never did. So we just kind of assumed, okay, if translations are good, just put it out there and see what happens. But
and then the poll was over.
And what the results show are what goes. So here's what we have.
I like Tobo's tweet saying, what was it? Any percent sunshine now requires hacking?
Yeah, that was just like not at all true. Like it doesn't require.
Just like, now it requires hacking. It's just like, okay. Okay. Cool.
If you don't hack, you can't even play, dude.
Yeah, it's over. Like everybody's just going to have so much of an upper hand if you're
not watching the cutscenes. Just gives you that much of an advantage that you, if you're watching them, you stand no chance.
Yeah. But I'm sitting here being like, I haven't done a run in a week and a half, and I'm like, I feel like I'm lesser for that than not or lesser not running the game at all than potentially running with a cutscene, you know? So there's some food for thought. Like playing the game versus not playing the game is a lot better a lot better than not skipping the cutscenes. You know?
But yeah, I think we can move on from the hacked file nonsense.
Yeah, it's over. I hope that it's done. I hope that this is done with everything leaderboard related for Super Mario Sunshine and the beginning.
Hopefully the beginning of an era where we no longer debate over pointless timing method stuff every single year. And
yeah. But you know what? It could have been like the Kinney Cola, you know? The file select versus race file versus act file versus peach timing versus two file, that could have been the glue that held the SMS community together, like coming back, calling each other snakes, you know?
It's possible.
I don't know, optimistic emo falling into the trap of writing a long paragraph that's properly punctuated. And see, okay, he specifically did what I told him not to. I was just like, don't go into the conversation and pick out like a typo they made or
as
a mistake they made.
As tempting as it is, just don't get involved in the argument and like point out little weird things and like try to
don't
change opinions because it's not going to happen.
Dude, don't make typo arguments. This isn't 2008. The fuck?
Right, especially not typo arguments.
It's like, what? It's just like, oh, you suck. You're dumb because you mistyped there. She's like, what does that mean? It's like, sure, I put the wrong there, or maybe I forgot an E.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Let's just pick on emo.
The idea is there. Like, why would you pick on? I remember I specifically told him not to go in and like pick on. I don't remember what it was. It might not have been a typo. It might have been just like a flawed thought that wasn't totally there. And I'm just like, don't do that. And then he immediately did it. I'm like, no, no. Now you're them. Now you're.
What
just
are you doing?
I don't know.
And next, you're going to be saying, oh, they're using a straw man ad hoc, whatever the fuck argument.
God damn. Optimistic emo. Ah. Ah.
Yeah, we love you, but come on, man.
Snakes. Ah. Anyway, that's all over. And
yep, hack file is the future. I'm going to probably stick to file select if I ever do runs again. I've been busy recently working on the video.
But
I don't even know what I'm going to do after I finish the video, to be honest.
To transition into your next topic.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
You're using file select on in the category that you're currently working on and doing streams of.
Yep.
With a DEF, two-player, one controller.
Yeah, so...
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk
about. At some point, I assumed you were going to take it away from me.
You stole that transition from me. I appreciate it. So yeah, there's sort of a project that Adep and I have been sort of working on mostly over the past few weeks. It's been sort of a... we've had this idea for months. Ever since the first time we did a 2P1C attempt, Adep was sort of in the area. This is last summer when I was still living in my parents' house before moving to my apartment. I think Adep was like visiting Kansas City. And he was close enough to me. He's like, yo, I want to like hang out and like play Mario or something. I'm like, sure. And he actually had the idea. He's like, yo, what if we like streamed us attempting to beat Mario Sunshine, two players, one controller, which what that means is one of us has our hand on one side of the controller, other person, other side of the controller. So once someone gets the control stick and the L trigger, which is me, that's what I have. And Adef, the other person, gets A, B, X, Y, Z, R, and the C stick, and try to coordinate that and actually beat the game under those conditions. And actually, going into it, we were pretty afraid. We're like, damn, this seems insane. I don't know if we're even going to beat this. But pretty quickly, we picked up on sort of like strats we can use, whether it's me saying like 3, 2, 1, then you do an input, or sort of like these weird like synchronization techniques we can do to make it work. Like in that first session, we figured out probably the most technical and precise skip in the game, Honey Skip, in about 15 minutes. We figured out a setup, 2P1C. And at that point we realized there's potential in this. If we practice this, and we did finish the run, by the way, we finished our first attempt of sort of like going through fucking around in like 3.5 hours roughly. So, and that was last summer. We didn't really do anything with it for a few months after that. But we realized like, yo, SGDQ 2020 is coming up. What if we attempted to actually legitimately find strats for this and submit it for GDQ? And it would be kind of a cool, because let's be honest, the whole any percent or any percent race or 120 run at GDQ kind of getting stale a little bit for Sunshine, wouldn't you agree?
96 shines would be hype as fuck.
We still have to get 96 shines in there. That's the one hype category left.
Yes.
But regardless, 2P1C is a fun challenge to mix it up for the game that I think would be really cool to watch and interesting to do live and give commentary for and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy, I don't even remember if we had the idea ourselves or it came from a YouTube comments on the highlight video for that stream I posted on my YouTube channel. Someone suggested or mentioned, I would love to see this at a GDQ. And I think maybe that comment sparked the idea in my head, like, yo, what if we actually did practice this, make this happen, get a solid time, submit it, and get it into the marathon.
So you're saying the idea in the comments sparked the same idea for you?
I don't remember. I don't remember if we thought of it ourselves. I think we thought of it ourselves, but it might have been the comment that sparked the idea. I don't remember.
You could have stolen a commenter's idea.
It's possible. I wish I could remember how it came up, but regardless, that's how it is. And the biggest hurdle in this whole process is that I live in the Midwest and Adef lives in the New England region of the country. So how are you going to do that when you don't live in the same area? It's not going to work, is it? But thankfully, someone suggested that we try this software called Parsec. And I believe actually it's a shout out to Leffens_Visa on Twitch. He's one of my viewers. I think he suggested that, maybe someone else as well. But basically, using Parsec, Adef is able to like screen into my screen and view my desktop. And using Parsec and Dolphin Emulator, we're able to set up both of our controllers so that we only have our respective buttons that we can press. And he looks into my screen, and with the power of the internet and all this software and crap, we can practice 2P1Z internationally if we wanted to. So,
do you, I have one question before you go into the fact that you've been playing over the past couple days and stuff. Do you hold, when you control the control stick and the left trigger, do you hold the controller with both hands or do you just hold it with one hand?
So in this scenario, when we're doing it over the internet, I do hold it with both hands for stability.
Cheater.
What's up?
Cheater. You're cheating.
Well, yeah, no, but like in person, you would have that stability of the other person being there, right?
Yeah, I know.
And it's, you actually can't cheat because we actually only turn on the buttons that we're allowed to press on our controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I press A, nothing happens. So there's really no cheating involved except for, I guess, we're technically using both of our hands. Oh my God. But the practice is virtually identical to what it would be in person, just minus the aspects of, I guess, the tactile feedback of doing it along with someone right there. Which actually, in person, it's actually so much easier. When we transfer our knowledge to playing in person, we're going to be gods. Like, it's so much harder to synchronize. First of all, synchronizing stuff without the tactile feedback of like being able to see what the person's doing with their side of the controller makes a pretty big difference. And then second of all, input delay. So I'm playing on Dolphin, and Dolphin, minus even doing internet crap, natively has input delay on Sunshine. I think it's like maybe 2 or 3 frames at least of input delay just for me. And then on top of that, you have Adept screening into my screen using my upload speed, which causes further input delay. Plus, the internet's not perfectly stable, so sometimes frames will cut out. So he's seeing like a half-assed, sloppy, laggy version of what we really should be seeing. And the way we put it to sort of motivate us is it's training weights.
Yeah.
We're using training weights to practice this because we have no choice. But in person, we're going to be insane. So we're pretty excited. Actually, earlier today, we got an insane cut we didn't expect to get so soon. Our first run was a 212 with a lot of slop. Our second run, which we did yesterday, we got a 157, the first sub 2 ever. Pretty proud of that. And today, our goal was sub 150, and we got a 143. So pretty crazy cut. I think what we're going to try to do is get at least a sub 140 before GDQ submissions are due, which they're due, I think, sometime in mid-March. But even if we don't improve that time we got today is pretty acceptable for a submission. It was pretty solid, except for like the first 15 minutes we were kind of salty because going into it, we were having all kinds of connection issues and his thing was lagging more than usual. So we were like kind of tilted, but as the run went on, like getting into Piazza and stuff, all those negative emotions went away and we were playing pretty solidly. So if we end up submitting the run we did, hopefully they'll look past the salty intro and see when we actually get at the game. So,
yeah. No, I didn't catch any of the run today. I saw like a little bit of it and I typed in.
Oh, yeah, I saw you tuning in briefly.
Yeah, I typed. It was during Manta. I hadn't seen Manta, yeah. But I Manta seems like a bitch.
Manta,
two players, one controller.
So let's be honest. There's some shines where there are no strats you can do. Like,
yeah.
Manta. So the way you start Manta is the usual hut start. You go to the hut, do the spread on the first dude. And then from there, it's just sort of... when you're doing Manta single player, like you normally would, there's a million decisions you can make at any given moment. It's like, I spray here, turn there, spin here? And there's no way to communicate that. So basically, it's just a big spray and pray crapshoot Manta.
And then
refill your water and don't die, essentially.
And then periodically changing your camera. But you have a little bit of camera control. Do you ever use that? Like with
I can only center it with the L button, but he has the whole C stick and the Y button.
Yeah, well, I during my Mantas, I sometimes use the L button for camera.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that definitely helps. But,
yeah.
I mean, considering he has 2/3 of the camera control, it makes a difference.
True. Like, I know. I'm not saying, it's basically one guy.
No. Yeah.
Well, like, he'd like mash... spam spray and you're just kind of like hoping to find all the big mantas, whatever. I caught a little bit of that, but I mostly watched most of yesterday, and I was very pleased with what I watched. Congrats on the 143, by the way. I did not think you were going to be able to get that that fast. But
yeah, I didn't either. Honestly, especially today, because we were having so many connection issues, and he was dropping, like, I think I was dropping frames, which in turn dropped frames over Parsec for him, because it uses the same, like, I'm essentially streaming to him, right?
Yeah.
So that wasn't good. And so we didn't even think we'd get a run today, but that run came out of nowhere. So imagine a day where we don't have connection issues. Oh man, sub 140 is imminent.
The thing that I really appreciated from yesterday, it's like, sure, all the two player one controller thing, getting honey skip was cool, like all that stuff.
Yep.
I really liked, and I typed it in your chat and you thought I was like flaming you or like trying to frustrate you.
Dude, you were trolling me so hard yesterday.
I kind of was. I was just like repeating like dismissive things Trey said to Adef that Adef like kind of like acknowledged but didn't really. And then I'm just like typing in chat just like, I'm glad, because what did you say? You said something along the lines of,
I'm glad you remembered something.
I'm glad you remember things. It's just like, yeah, okay, that's kind of interesting.
No, but it's true, there's like really weird niche things. Whatever, you're
well
right.
Also, Adef doesn't play the game, and yeah, like see, I was on your side for that one where he got mad at you for like thinking he's really dumb. It's like, no, it's just not. It's not a game that you played for the last 6 years. See, that you might not understand every nook and cranny of.
His SMS 80% PB is a 205. Like, he doesn't run that game.
Yeah.
So the time we got is actually 22 minutes faster than his single player PB. So
that's
I'm
that
proud
was my first question yesterday. Like, hey, Adef, are you ever going to use both hands? And he's just like, I don't know, essentially. But I was, the thing that I was most appreciating was the fact that he was getting so frustrated with you at some points. And I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, lately, I haven't really gotten frustrated with things that you said to me. But, like, there have been moments in the past where I'm just like, shut the fuck up, Trey.
Come on, he wasn't getting that mad at me. I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. There were just parts. there were just parts where he's just like, ugh. Like, especially the 3-2-1s.
Oh, no, those are crucial. Those are part of our strat.
Yeah, you're just like, 3-2-1. It's just...
I'd probably say 3-2-1 about 1,000 times in a TP1C run.
And every time it's for jumps. My one confusion was with him being like, oh, what do you want me to do? Every time you count down, it's a jump. Every single time. Like,
okay, this is my frustration with Adef, if you're listening. No, he's not going to hear this. But sometimes, like in secrets, I'll be like, 3-2-1... What do you want me to do? It's like, you have the... You see
it's like,
why
input?
There?
What do you think?
It's like, what are you going to do? Like, ground pound? Like, no, that's me. I don't know. But yeah, we've come a long way in our synergy. A lot of times, when we're just like free running or like moving from a level to a level in practice, we'll just like be on the same wavelength and do like the movement that we expect each other to do. It's kind of crazy.
Nice.
So, I think he's definitely improving at Sunshine in general through this significantly. But yeah, I'm glad I'm the one with the control stick. So you would think the biggest thing is, so why are you giving the non-SMS runner more options to use? Well, the control stick is actually the most important option by far, as it turns out. And we sort of figured that out by accident the first time we attempted it. When we started, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try a control stick. Maybe it's better. I don't know. And it turned out to be like the ideal thing to do. So... that way I can always get spin jumps, always get side flips when they work. Side flips are kind of dumb sometimes. But
oh, dude,
that
I
way
even
I can like spin jump whenever I want to on command. It's really nice. So
I hadn't even thought about it that way. Imagine having somebody that doesn't play Sunshine on spin jumps and side flips.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh my god, that sounds so bad.
See, the fact that I can hit a spin jump 99 times out of 100, that's crucial. So
that's... I hadn't thought of it that way. Like I was just like, oh yeah, movement, just any direction. That kind of, I'm on your side with you being on the control stick. I remember Oat was in the chat the other day being like, oh, I would have thought that the buttons would be more complicated. I'm like,
that's
yeah, me
think,
too.
Yeah.
But I kind of get it. And now that you say spin jumps and side flips, I'm like, oh, for sure.
Yeah, now you get it in secrets when that's on the line.
Like you have, that's disgusting. Like, ugh, can't even imagine.
And I've been teaching him like little niche mechanics, like. He knows how to do backflip dives and just dives out of weird things you wouldn't usually do casually. So he's come a long way.
And you're both learning chain chomp together.
Okay, we don't talk about that. So Yeah, I didn't realize you gotta like stand in a certain place to make the chain chomp go somewhere, because you usually don't let go so early. I learned it now, though. We always learn stuff, even me, every 2P1C run. So the more runs we do, the better we get. That's kind of obvious.
I was giving Trey the benefit of the doubt. He left the chain chomp in Pianta 4 so early that I was like, oh, they've already done a run of this. Like, he probably automatically turns left no matter what. And then it's just like, oh. And then he stood there being like, where's the chain chomp?
Hold on. So you didn't know either.
Well, I would have thought that you would have had to stay to the right a little bit longer. Or behind him a little bit longer.
Okay, so you were pretty sure he may not go left.
Yeah. I was, when you went, I was just like, I think he might turn right. Oh, but I'll trust Trey. And then he turned right.
In the heat of a run, your brain doesn't always work. So. Yeah.
And then you stood there being like, where's the chain chomp? And I'm like, he went right. He went right.
Well, I knew where he was going. I was just sort of being facetious, all right?
Yeah.
But yeah, 2B1C is coming along way nicer than I expected, especially with our... I can't emphasize enough how janky this Parsec setup is, but we're making it work. And sadly, I think that what's mostly shooting us in the foot for our chances of getting accepted at GDQ is that we actually are not going to be able to do an in-person run as a submission. So verifiers of runs might look at that run and be like, I mean, we don't see them doing it in person. They have this weird setup going. I don't know if we should improve this. But just know, if you're on the games committee listening to this right now, what we're doing now is harder than in person by far. So whatever you see in that run, we can do or better in person. 100%.
If it's put on, if you submit it and it's day five of the marathon and it's accepted, then you got 4 days of practice in person.
Yeah, we get plenty of in-person practice. The later in the marathon it is, the better. So
that sounds good. It's really fun for me to watch, just in general.
I'm glad you're really watching it, because like not everyone might enjoy it, because you see it and it's like, oh well, it looks like a half decent SMS player sort of fucking around, but
yeah.
I'm glad you can appreciate the skill that goes into it.
Well, like, you have this wallet. Like, it was funny having people come and chat and being like, oh, which side of the controller is Trey on? Like, what are you guys doing? And I'm just like, there's a wall of text where the splits should be. Yeah. It's like,
that's
how
the thing
are
about
you not seeing
this? You can literally put a sign up to people's faces and they'll still miss it.
So. Yeah, it's just like, oh, Trey's on the stick and the L button. Adef's on AYB. It's just like... And then it's like, oh, it's over Parsec, so like Adef has a little bit more lag, but there's still naturally lag, and there's just all this wall of text. And it's just like, I'm just going to read none of it. And it's like, what's up? What's up, guys?
There's actually like there's some strats that are like Parsec specific. Like, I have to actually do countdowns more often over Parsec, because in the event that his video feed cuts out at a certain moment, when he hears that 3-2-1 go, even if his thing is frozen for a second, he just knows to jump and it'll work. So.
Does he know to jump though?
What, 90% of the time, he's getting better.
Wait, what am I doing?
Sometimes he has that occasional little freak out moment, but I'm like, we're getting better about it. So.
Oh, those were funny. I was just like,
but
yeah,
like little things, like things you wouldn't even think of, like climbing the Shine Gate. We're so much better at now. I think the first time we tried to do the Shine Gate climb, it took us like 5 minutes to figure it out, and now we get it first try pretty much every time. So
I have now, also watching these attempts, I've learned more Shadow Mario routes than I've ever known.
Oh, yeah. We had to, like, sort of create... We had to create our own 2P1C cycles for secret stages and sort of Shadow Mario kill techniques.
Yeah. I had not... I have never seen the Noki Bay Shadow Mario do his entire cycle before. And
oh yeah, we're getting better at that also. We're going to make sure he doesn't do that anymore.
And now I've seen it. He goes all the way to the top of the cliff and then jumps all the way down.
Yeah, so in today's run, he only got up to where the Cephalon killed his run spot was, so better.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing in 2P1C, by the way. I'm pretty proud of that.
Oh, I've done that in runs. I think I've done that. I'm doing my any percent, my 5 days of any percent that I did 2 weeks ago. I think one time he got up there and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Still 117 or something.
Yeah, we get the semi-quick kill occasionally in practice on that. So we're getting better at it.
Good.
But yeah, get hyped for that. We're going to submit for GDQ. May or may not get in. I'm going to count on always Okay, when you submit to GDQ, no matter what it is, the odds are never in your favor. So never expect to get in, but if we do, get hype.
Yeah, so I don't actually know how long we've been going.
Roughly like an hour 18-ish, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like one more little blurb on something. Do you have anything?
I don't know. I had this thought the other day. So this will be just like a very quick thought, and you can interject if you'd like, Trey, because this is our podcast, you know?
Oh, really?
So somebody used the idiom the other day. It's like an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. And I was asking
you were asking me how to spell immovable.
Yeah, because I was writing it down on my paper. I don't like having my memo pad on my phone. Because I have to like turn on my phone and then scroll to my memo pad. It's just like, if it's on a piece of paper, it's tactile.
We boomers, we need that tactile paper feedback.
Yeah. So somebody used the idiom the other day, and I've never really thought about an immovable force or an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. I've never really thought about it. Like, you think about it and just like nothing happens, you know? But if you think about the phrasing of each word, I know this isn't really super speedrun related. I think it was literally Smash commentary or something. But an unstoppable force doesn't stop, right? Even for an immovable object, it wouldn't stop. Okay? So it's an unstoppable force.
So literally, like the force is like always moving.
Yeah, it's always forcing towards you, whatever
it's
that
unstoppable.
Means. It's unstoppable. It's going. Keeps going. But and then there's an immovable object that is unmovable. But something in that interaction has to be true, right? It just can't be a stoppable force and a movable object or a movable object. It's like one of them has to happen. So that idiom either makes all the sense in the world or no sense.
Wait, I'm confused. I think it makes total sense.
Do you?
Yeah, so unstoppable force, it's a force that just keeps moving no matter what, just keeps going.
Yeah.
And it's going to hit an object that cannot be moved.
Yeah.
So, like, it can make sense in space. What happens when that thing hits that thing? What happens?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It's impossible because neither such a force exists, but it's sort of like a philosophical bullshit thing.
I started thinking of it as a, the cat in the box with the gas.
Schrodinger's cat?
Schrodinger's cat. I was thinking about the Schrodinger's cat, where one of the outcomes has to happen, but you don't know what'll happen. Like,
it's like Schrodinger's force is...
It's Schrodinger's immovable object. Like, you don't know if it's moved or not until you open the box.
I think that I saw that question. I had sort of like this fun little puzzle book and like riddle book growing up as a kid. And I believe one of the riddles was what happens when an unstoppable force hits an immovable object. And the answer was the most unsatisfying bullshit answer ever. I think it was like, it's impossible because it's literally impossible for these things to exist. And that was it.
Okay, that's lame.
Like, that's lame. What, I want to know what happens. Come on.
But it's, you're setting yourself up for, like, I understand the metaphor, like, oh, what happens when this interacts with this? And it's just like two melee players or two like sports icons or something. And there's like, they're going to meet and somebody's going to win. And like, how does one interact with somebody of equal strength?
Well, okay. It is weird because like in that like metaphor, comparing it to melee players or sports players, which player is the unstoppable force? Which player is the immovable object?
Like, it's just metaphors for strength. So they're both like of comparable strength. That's
there. Yeah, but like one of them is just stuck there forever, never moving.
Yeah, but
and one of them is unstoppable, always moving. So one of them is better, right?
No,
it's just stupid.
It is kind of dumb. That's my whole point. Metaphor. It's like a rock and a hard place, where it's just like it's one's a rock and one's a physically hard place.
But a rock's also hard. So like,
yeah. You know. So, like, that's the thing. They're supposed to be the same thing. You're caught between two hard things.
But that's,
you know,
the thing, is that the forces, they're the exact opposite thing.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of relevant which player is which horse.
Well, you're going way too in the weeds.
I'm in the weeds, boys.
You're in the weeds now. You're trying to. You have to see what you have to see the forest for the trees. I don't know if that idiom's actually applicable here, but I feel like it works.
I love idioms.
You have to see the forest for the trees rather than.
What you're saying is I'm making the metaphor way too literal.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like I'm doing the same thing, but I think it's dumb. That's my whole point.
It is dumb, and I hate that riddle book for that stupid answer.
Because, like, when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, something has to, like, either this thing doesn't move, and then this force is proven to not be unstoppable. Or, yeah, proven not to be unstoppable. It's proven to be stoppable. That's my point. Or this object gets moved, and this is proven to be an unstoppable force, but this immovable object is now movable. You know? Either they're lying or they're not going to interact.
But you know what's both an unstoppable force and an immovable object?
What?
The Video Games Are Hard podcast with Trey and Sid. No.
That's the end of the podcast. Is that the end of the podcast?
That was my attempt at an ending.
Yeah, woo! It's Google Play, Spotify. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we won't.
Big 2-0. It's been 20 episodes. Pretty crazy. I hope you enjoyed that. A lot of sunshine talk, but it was good talk, I thought, so.
I had fun.
Good talk, Sid.
We'll talk next week.
All right. Later, folks.